And you might like to turn in your Bible to Ephesians and in chapter 6. And perhaps we can look to the Lord, our Father and God, set apart these moments that we would have the immediate and present benefit of your presence, and that you'd help us. Spirit of God, thank you very much for your word, for your grace, and Lord, that we can even be very mindful of you. In Christ's name, amen. As we shared this morning a little bit, that it's not very public, but, and thus it's even more than that, what strange, foreign, alien kind of love is it? It's not of this earth, no. And that love could make us a legitimate child of God. Legitimate. I don't mean just we could say we're all children of God like Unitarianism or something. I don't mean that. Not that kind. So how is a child? What are you saying, God? That when you received my son as your savior, I placed you, my son, entered your heart, and I entered your heart, and I took you and put you in the middle of my son. He is in the middle of you, and you are in the middle of him. That's what makes you a child. You're a son in the son. You're a child of God. That's what's awesome. That's what's awesome. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and so come now, so we're looking at what? It's very public, but what's very public? It isn't very public. That's true. People just don't. That's the morning. In the evening, it's not very public. So, over, if we can, in Ephesians, chapter 6, and you would recall, if you would. We're looking at the armor. We're at the point of having, verse 17, the sword of the Spirit. That's where we're at. But being communion, we're going to take a step back and see the thing, see the picture. So, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. And in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, you will note, we're wrestling not against flesh and blood. So it isn't an earthly thing, a fleshly thing, a thing you can see, smell, touch, taste. It's not that kind of thing. It's not that kind, no. Again, but against principalities and powers, against powers, principalities, position, people and all, angelic and beings and everything in high positions and in powers of having authority to exercise their high positions. So therefore, we're against that. So it isn't flesh and blood. It's another kind of world, another kind of dynamic. And against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, having said that, and keeping in mind these principalities and powers that we're up against, and that's why we need the whole armor of God. So, over, if you would, please, in the light of that, while you're here in Ephesians, over to chapter 1 for a moment. And you want to lock on again afresh principalities and powers. And you will note Ephesians 1 and verse 21. When Christ rose again from the grave, he did something wonderful. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? Ephesians 1:19, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power. So he took, when Christ rose again, God made that his resurrected, the perfect humanity of Christ in God the Son. He placed him right up, because he had to be, because God in Christ is, God attached himself to humanity in his wonderful person. So, and thus, he is the top. He's at the top of the pile in God. So therefore, principalities and powers and mighty and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Christ, when he rose again from the grave, God took him in a most wonderful way. Acts chapter 2, he made him both Lord and Christ. The man part of God, the resurrected part, the body that you and I could look at. He made him in God. He made him both Lord and Lord, Lord of Lords and Christ, the Messiah. He's the boss. He did that over everything and everyone when he rose again. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, and thus the church, as you know, chapter 3. And what are we doing then? Verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, N-O-W, unto the principalities and powers, the Ephesian world with darkness which we wrestle against, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold, many-faceted, many-sided wisdom of God. God is taking the church and displaying his awesome, wonderful what? He's risen again from the grave, and he's demonstrating to the principalities and powers that we're up against, he's demonstrating to them his awesomeness. He has defeated, he has put everything in order in his on Calvary's cross, etc. He's done that. And he's demonstrating as we sit, as we live, as we breathe, as believers, we're demonstrating that strange kind of love, that unique oneness to God as children. We belong legitimately to the family of God. He is our Father. And as we demonstrate that, they have to all pay attention. Now, hang on. Now, and thus, having said that and keeping that in mind, go over with me, please, in the light of that, over to the book of Colossians. And you'll note in the book of Colossians, picking up, if I may, in Colossians chapter 1, and in verse 16, for by him, by Christ, were all things by God in Christ. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. God has gone and Christ has been crucified, risen, and he is over all. He's the boss. He's in charge. He has been given full authority and by way of Calvary's cross, he is to demonstrate that and is demonstrating that. What's now, we've got to keep in mind, we're looking at that which is very public, but we're putting the but to see what that is. So, in the light of that, and in chapter 1, as we read in verse 16, sliding over if I can, I'll even read, let me finish that. Verse 17, he is before all things, and by him all things consist, are held together. He is the head of the body, the church, which is demonstrating the wonderful, wonderful conquest over the enemy, over darkness, over wickedness, over principalities, over powers. The church, verse 18, who was the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence, he hold first place. 4:19, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, all the fullness of God should dwell in him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, chapter 2. So we're looking God's. Here's the believing heart, and that there God's going to go and show himself in a most wonderful way. He's going to show that what? He's defeated the enemy, which he created. Angels, dominions, principalities, powers. He's the boss over them all. He's defeated them. Now he's going to show that. It's going to be very public, but. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here we are looking at God's wonderful saving grace. Now, we're to put on the whole armor of God to be able to handle this. This is our assignment. We are his witnesses, Acts 1:8. We're his witnesses. God has given us Spirit of God, has given us the power that we need to be his witness, to witness of him. That's what we're doing. We aren't witnessing, we're his witness. He holds us up like the paper and says, see the paper, see the believer, see the child of God, see him. And the child just goes up and see him. Wow, that's what I want you to do. Want you to be? They're my witnesses. Like this, when he entered the Jerusalem in Matthew 20, 21 before his crucifixion in that last week. And if they did all that they did, even though they're going to yell, crucify him shortly. But right then they gave him all kinds of wonderful, recognized him in some form. And the Lord Jesus answered to the question, why don't you tell them to shut? They shut up. And he said, no. If they don't do what they're doing, throwing palm leaves and everything in front as he rode that donkey into Jerusalem, if they don't do it, all the stones on the ground will cry out. If they don't cry out, if they don't put those palms down, I'll have the stones talk. So God, what are we doing? Well, we're going to go, and God's going to go and do a wonderful thing for us. And therefore, verse chapter 2, verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of God, the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head over all principality and powers. Right. So we have a unique relationship. It's a strange thing that no one can understand, because if you don't know God, you cannot understand it. If you don't know God, you won't understand it. You have to know God's awesome and what he's done. And you can say, I think I understand. That's not the same thing as understanding this strange kind of love that makes you legitimately belong to God as his brethren. Now, And thus, in Colossians, we are enjoying his fullness. That means we have the whole armor of God, and God's going to help us against the enemy. Now, how do we got the armor, and God protects us. He is the protection. Not only is he the protection, but he is something else. Because what's he doing? A, he's going to go and show that he died on the cross to save whosoever that would believe. B, not necessarily in that order. B, he's letting the world know he happens to be the only Savior, and he happens to have done something that cost him his life, as it were, in his perfect humanity, and Christ died and rose again. And therefore, he paid the price. So now, having said that, all of that's true. Now, God, how are we going to demonstrate? How are we going to demonstrate that you are at the top? How are we going to demonstrate in this process that God has taken the perfect humanity of Christ having saving us in a full and sufficient way, and seated him in his perfect humanity at the right hand of God. Now, and he's Lord of Lords. He defeated, he won, he overcame all that was against him in the world of darkness, principalities, and powers. They all did what they did. Now, hang on. Now, sliding down. If we can, in the light of all of it, going down chapter 2 and picking up the flavor of it. And now, verse 11, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Think of what we've been doing in Galatians, without hands, not by works system, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. What do you mean, the circumcision of Christ? Physically, you get your skin cut, but this is a circumcision, but not a cutting of the skin. No, it's something Christ did. What did Christ do to set us apart, to mark us as children of God? What did he do to set us apart? Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you were risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. We believe God's wonderful truth, his wonderful word, that which we know is to be believed by faith, his word. And therefore, God did something wonderful according to his grace. He said he would send his son to die on the cross, the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. So he went and did that. When Christ went to the cross, he buried with him. That's all we are now. So he is crucified, buried. Now, so therefore, you know, he took us to Calvary's cross. He had no sin. He was without sin. He went to the cross. He bore our sin in his own body on the tree. And he became sin on our behalf and was punished for it. And in those 3 hours from noon to 3 o'clock, he was separated from God in his perfect humanity. What is it to be lost? What is it to be unsaved? It's to be separated from God, to have no legitimate, healthy relationship to God, which strange love has overcome and given us that relationship. But we didn't have it. We had to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. And he died for us. And then he was baptism, we're identified in his death. He took me there, took us there. That's where I am on that cross. And then he buried us. And now, when you bury something, go to the cemetery and look, and you go to a funeral or something that happens to use the cemetery. When you go there, and they lower the casket down or whatever they're doing, and they throw the shovel and dirt. Now, that's pretty good evidence that the person died. That's pretty good evidence that that who we just buried is dead. We just put him in the ground and buried him. We don't need much more evidence of a death certificate. We already, it's pretty clear, they died. Christ, the gospel, he died for us and he was buried according to the scriptures. He's dead. He finished it. Finished. All done. Hang on to that. And thus in verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, resurrection. When he died, he took us to the cross, took us to the grave, and he rose again to give us a wonderful relationship to God through his wonderful person. He hath quickened, made us alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, all of them, clean, wonderfully, wonderfully clean. How clean? Verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of the flesh, hath he quickened, again, having forgiven you all trespasses. And he did that. How so did he do it? How official is it? How wonderfully official is it? Well, he went, according to as you can read, blotting out the handwriting, to blot out, to wipe away, to blot away, to erase, to cause something to cease to exist. The debt that you owe is paid. And the debt that is paid, and on the debt that's paid, that which is a policy they did among people that owed, apart from the law, people that owe money to some, they paid the bill, they paid the loan, and what they would do is take the bill, the loan, and they would write across, canceled. What did God do? The debt, the law said, the wages of sin is death, and Christ died to pay the price. And what did he do? He took it in his own body on the tree, your sin and mine. And then he went and took on the cross, he took the law. He took the law that says, you got to measure up to the law or you're never going to make it. You have no righteousness and you're dead in sins. And he wrote, paid in full and nailed it to the cross. Paid in full. You got an empty cross. Paid in full. That's why it's emptied. Paid. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances, all of that which was against us and caused us, that all the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. In other words, it was hostile. It all said, you're guilty as can be, you owe the debt, you deserve death, et cetera, et cetera. And that's all it was. It was all against us. The law, the tablets of stone God put down from Mount Sinai, Exodus 34. God wrote them. Moses didn't write them. God wrote them. The finger, the hand of God, you're going to see it in a minute. The hand of God, he wrote them. And he wrote them. The law says, you want to do it, you can't do it because you're dead in sins. You're incapable of doing it. I need to save you and give you a unique relationship so that you can enjoy life. But you can't. You have to be saved. Therefore, contrary to us, verse 14, and took it out of the way nailing it to the cross. That part's easy. We got that on the cross. Ah, now what else? What else happened on that cross? And verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he spoiled them. He spoiled them. That means to wipe away. To wipe away. To put off. To put off. To take. To take your coat. Take a, your coat and take your coat off. To clean. To cleanse. To wipe it away. To take it away. To strip away the clothes. He stripped away. He went and having spoiled principalities, he stripped them away. What did he strip away from himself? Principalities and powers. Why? Because they were out to get him way back in the Old Testament. They were after him, after all of Israel, to keep them from ever being able to keep the tribe of Judah ever being in the place to be in Bethlehem for Mary and Joseph ever to have and for the baby, to keep all of that from happening, et cetera, Herod and all of it against him. And all the way, without looking at all of that, all the way in his ministry for 3 1/3 years, they tried to kill him. And they were frustrated because they couldn't kill him. That's what they wanted to do, but they couldn't do it. What did he do? He spoiled them. And after he went to the cross, they took him to the cross. They beat him up something fierce, so you wouldn't even want to look at him. He was so beaten up and battered. Now, what are you saying? He went to the cross and bore our sin. That's why he's all beat up by the world system, our old nature. He did that. And having done that, he paid the price. And at 3 p.m., he said, finished. John 19, we're finished, God. The price has been paid sufficiently. I'm able to save whosoever that would believe to the uttermost. The price has been paid, wonderfully, wonderfully paid. And so he, now, you can just imagine if you can. And his heart and mind, as it were, he finished. No one's ever going to do that to me again. I am Lord of lords and King of kings. And no one ever is going to do that to me again. Never. I allowed it to save us. It'll never happen again. I wiped it away. Not only that, I did what? I conquered them. They thought they had the right to do what they did, and they did to a certain point. But now that it's all finished, I finished it, and now they wanted to get rid of me. They can't get rid of me. So what are we going to do next? Get rid of those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to mess up their lives. We can't mess up his. He's finished. He's done with them. He conquered them. Let me finish the verse. And if I can, having spoiled principalities and powers, there we are. He terminated, took care of them. All the things, all the accusations on the devil and his host. He made a show, a very public exhibit. He openly made a big show. It was very public. What was? His crucifixion, his death, his resurrection. It can't be more public. That's what he did. But in the process, he made a show of them, openly exhibiting them, triumphing over them. And it, the cross, that's what he did in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So God, you're finished. I finished it. I defeated them. They're all done. They're never going to bother me again. No. Ah. Yeah. But, very public, but what, God? Here we are, us believers, and here are us believers, what? When we receive Christ as our Savior, and God has done a wonderful thing in saving us, and in saving us in God's wonderful, wonderful wisdom, and God in Christ in you, is what? There's a word that you know where our time is gone, so that's a problem. But I didn't mean to take so long trying to get there. Do you understand? Christ has gone what? And Christ in you is the one who just said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, I have won the game. I am publicly going to exhibit that I have defeated the power of darkness and evil and demons and principalities and powers and every dumb thing that could ever get after you. Well, God, here's my armor. And where are you? Here we are. Wow. God, I got my armor on. Right. God said, I'm your armor. And by the way, I happen to be in you. I want you to know that as you walk up and down the street, I want you to know what? I'm in you. And you are just a sinner saved by grace. But being a sinner saved by grace, what are you doing? God in you has overcome. And God in you is more than makes you more than a conqueror. Look over in Romans chapter 8. Over in chapter 8, you got to quit, but chapter 8 in closing, I guess. You pick it up. You got the, you're getting, I wish I could get it better for you. But if you take communion real fast, it'll be all right. Okay. Watch it. See it. Romans chapter 8. God, what are you saying? Ah, oh, yeah. God, you love us. Strange love. No bet. Over verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And the world looks at us, believers, and they don't see you, what? As more than a conqueror. How do you talk about us believers, God? How are we supposed to think about ourselves? Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, verse 11, boom, 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 seven times. What? He that overcometh. God, you're overcomers. Greater is he that is in you than what? He that is in the world, 1 John 4, 4. Greater is he that is in you, Christ in you. He's already beaten, it's won. So here I am, I got my armor on. And God, what am I going to do? God, you're going to demonstrate what? You've defeated the enemy. You're sheep for the slaughter, and they're going to come at you. But you know what? Verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, overcomers, through him, because of him, by means of him that loved us. For, verse 38, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor, there it is again, principalities and powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, in Christ Jesus our Lord. God in you. He's demonstrating. God, you're going to, what, I have to fight? No, I don't. No, God said his battle's finished. You're sheep. You aren't out there doing something. You're sheep. I don't want you to be a wolf. I want you to just be a sheep. Now, they're going to come and get you, but you know what? They can never get you. They can never get you. But they could kill us. And God's going to let that happen in the tribulation plus now. He lets that happen. No, they can't. They can't touch you. When you received me as your Savior, I gave you an eternal, permanent relationship to me called eternal life. And that is untouchable, no matter what. And it doesn't depend on your heart. It doesn't depend on cancer. It doesn't depend on anything. It just depends on your little old heart enjoying being saved. I want to show you're more than a conqueror. That's what I want to show. So you can never say, boy, I'm a loser. Never, never, never. He's the winner. He's the winner inside of you. And that's who you're letting him win. The principalities and powers are way out of my reach, way beyond my understanding. But all I can do is demonstrate that Christ, to the devil himself, I respect you, Mr. Devil, if you're there somewhere. I respect you. I honor you. But Christ has terminated your rule and reign, at least in my life. Not on earth, you're still the boss till the tribulation. But on my life, you're not the boss anymore. You're not the boss anymore in my life. I'm a free man. How am I free? Christ in me has won the battle. It's finished.